All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to overreact. I know that's what we kind of do, right? We're on every day, you know, 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. We're going to be on after games. We're going to be on ahead of games and must win this and must win that. We try to be as realistic as possible. And I don't think you or I sensationalize anything. Certainly not anymore. Like, we're not trying to, you know, come up with some bullcrap, you know, takes that are going to be, you know, sensationalized for whatever reason. But there was some thought that maybe going into last game that if the Giants lost that game, they could be one of the worst teams in the league. We talked about it with Costos, and he was saying blow it up. We've heard about it from Marash saying that, oh, the Giants should tank and lose. Where are you at now? I've kind of been consistent here, believing in this team and thinking that they were going to win this game, and they're kind of where I expected they could be, like 7, maybe 8 wins max.
Yeah.
But more realistic, probably between 6 and 7. We'll see what happens Thursday and how we feel going to that game, although Dallas is certainly more vulnerable than it appeared initially. Where are you at with the Giants? Do you look at them and still think that they have the potential to be one of the worst teams in the league?
I'm going to give you a couple teams that I think are absolutely worse than the Giants.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah.
And again, you're right. To overreact one way or the other is something we try to avoid, even though sometimes we get swallowed up by
it. Right, it happens.
I think this is fairly measured, though. I think the Pats are, this is from a personnel perspective. I think the Pats are worse. I think the Titans are worse. I think Las Vegas is worse. And that's getting ugly, by the way. I think Denver's worse. I think Carolina's worse, even with the win. I think that's where I'd probably end the list here. Those five teams. Now, what happened? And the Browns, based on that yesterday. They just beat them head-to-head. Now, like, what happens with the Jaguars tonight? What happens with the Colts moving forward? What happens with, say,
maybe
the Bears?
The better question would be, are we now... Because it's really kind of been 2 weeks, although I had issues with reporters saying off the rails after week two. Like, are we now more confident that the season won't go off the rails and be, like, do you think the Giants will be picking top three? Maybe that's the way to...
Right now, I'd probably change. No, I don't think they're a top three pick team. No, I don't. I think that also, remember, after the first game...
was ugly.
Well, gee, I mean, you mentioned Sean and some others, they wanted to bench Danny. Sean wanted to bench Daniel Jones. A lot of people did. And I came in that Monday, and I said, listen, I said, can you give the man a chance to shed the rust? So the fact that he's not dynamic right now, I wouldn't say that running the ball, but he's definitely spry enough to utilize him in the running game. I think that makes the Giants a little more diverse, and I think that people, and I always liked Singletary, but I think that people are now seeing, well, provided he holds onto the football, man, Singletary, He's going to house one or two this year. He's obviously
a
bit of a gasher. You have neighbors. You know, you got some other weapons. The pass rush is very much a force, and the O-line is better. Now, I think special teams, do I think the Giants are going to lose three or four? No, maybe not three or four. Two or three games this year directly correlating to special teams? Well, they already lost one, so my answer to that would be yes. I don't think the Giants are a playoff team. They're slightly better. Maybe their ceiling slightly higher than I thought. Because I thought they could be picking top three or top four. But I'm watching this situation with, you know, the Raiders and Pierce is now popping off. And you got Denver's a disaster. I don't care what happened with Carolina yesterday. They stink. The Patriots are awful. Titans have no quarterback. No, I see there are five or six teams right now discernibly worse than the Giants. No question.
I'm just looking at the schedule. Maybe it'd be fun to do this. Because it is, like, you feel totally different after a win than you do after a loss. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, a week ago you're looking and say, oh, man, at Cleveland, it's going to be tough. home against the Cowboys.
I give you my first instincts, okay?
Yeah.
With these games?
Yes.
First instinct. Start firing them off. What do you got?
Home against Dallas Thursday.
Loss.
At Seattle. Yeah, see, I feel like you're getting one of these next two.
That's a competitive loss.
Ooh, okay. See, I think now they can win one of these next two.
I do too, actually, but I'm just
home,
giving you...
Home against the Bengals.
I could see him winning that game.
That's what I mean. All of a sudden now, not that we would pencil in wins, loss, but all of a sudden it's like, all right.
Yeah.
They showed us something here. Home against the Eagles.
You know, I mean, Philly's a mess right now, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Philly as of now.
At Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Home against Washington.
I'll give him a win.
Home against Carolina.
Win.
Home against the Bucks. All of a sudden, I mean,
I still think the Bucks are going to be tough. Yesterday was a bit of an outlier there. I think Tampa's better. Not much. You know, depending upon the weather.
You think the Giants will be underdogs in that game?
Point here, pick them there, cut it. Yeah, I mean, listen, it depends. I mean, there's so many variables.
Point
here.
Is, and we don't need to go through the rest of them, tougher schedule there, but the point is...
It's already changed in a week.
Yes.
That's
like
the point.
You just feel perceptually, and I do think it's not just you or I, it's also the odds makers. Like,
a little bit.
There's a chance now that maybe they are going to be favored. And it's also what's going on around the league as well.
What's the Dallas number Thursday? Did you see it?
No, I have not seen it.
Quick. I don't even know.
Let me guess.
I'm going to guess, too. I'm going to say Dallas minus six.
Ooh, I'm going to go low.
Five and a half.
I'm going to say I'll go four and a half in that range.
It's 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Giants 4.5.
I mean, that makes sense. Giants are getting 4.5.
Giants are getting 4.5. You know, last time they got points, they won straight up yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think... Point is, I think that they... That game initially, even me who was high on the Giants, I looked at that game like, no chance of winning that one. But because Dallas appears to be broken,
I know
that makes it, it's more, that game to me is more about Dallas than it is about the Giants.
Well, I would probably agree. I can't emphasize, if you guys haven't seen it, go. I mean, I don't know that I've heard this quite like this. Like, you talk about a state of the union. Go and watch what Parsons said and what Dak Prescott said. Go and find it if you didn't. I mean, they are talking about things that, when you get into this aspect of an organization about guys finishing like their lifting sessions or really studying the film or just being diligent by being in the building and being accountable, they're going to the most basic aspect of being a pro. And I think when you question somebody's professionalism to that degree, which their two leaders, one on each side of the ball, so clearly did yesterday, there's nothing in between. It's either full response and it's fixed or it's over and it's done.
If I were Dallas and they lose somehow Thursday night, I'd fire McCarthy and hire Belichick.
I could see him getting fired. I just checked the odds. He's the first one to be fired. The updated odds.
Now, I know in season. Yeah, I know it usually doesn't happen in season like that type of change.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, fire him and make Zimmer your coach? No, Belichick is there. It also usually doesn't happen that the greatest head coach in the history of the game is available with a team that should be ready-made now. You can't tell me you wouldn't think the Cowboys would be better with Belichick.
I would, but how do you bring in somebody from outside of the building in the middle of the season? I don't know that that's unprecedented. That's very
I'm just
rare.
Saying, if they lose, they'll be 1-3.
Yeah, and they just don't look right.
All right, 1-3, they look broken with talent.
Yeah, Jerry's not putting up with this for a whole lot. Unless Jerry's getting totally sore, or just Jerry doesn't know what's going on, which I don't think is the case. You know, McCarthy, he better win this game.
BT Zell, the fan. Larry is in East Side. So what's up, Larry?
Hey, boys. How you doing today? How's everything?
Good.
How are you, Larry?
Good, good, good. A lot of great things happening over the weekend. BT, we're right at the ship with the boys right now. Let's see what happens. It's early. The Giants, again, right at the ship. Jones looks a little more stable back there. Neighbors is a stud. As far as the Mets, Sal, 110%, brother. We are waiting for the Braves. If we don't beat the Braves, don't even talk to me about Alonso anymore. Just don't, because we changed the core. We changed the core with upper management, but we brought in Iglesias, natural leader. You see Lindor's out, Iglesias is leading. You see our DH. He's a natural hitter. He helped the guys. Natural leader. That's how that core sees. Alonso didn't change a damn thing. He's on right now. The goodbye tour right now.
Yeah, but the only thing, Larry, one second. I want to ask something. Like, I'm not trying to douse the enthusiasm. It's been awesome.
But
when you say the core's changed, I mean, Iglesias is 34, and JD Martinez is 0-33. I mean,
I agree.
So it's a Band-Aid core to an extent.
Okay, but But BT, yeah, you got to understand, we never had anybody that stepped up and sat there and is playing and doing it. Lindor came out, I want to do the meeting, yada, 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 the first year. This guy stepped up.
Yeah, I know he did.
You see Iglesias. You see Iglesias is now being a leader in the infield. You see they're looking to him. When they, in the beginning of the year, with Martinez, they had a problem. He showed Vientos. He was showing the guys. That's what I mean.
Hey, well, then, now, Larry, but you're right. Now go get it done. Thank you for the call. Now go get it done against Atlanta. I don't want to hear excuses. Who's sick? Who's out? Who's hurt? Who's this? Who's that? Bad arms, this, that. I don't want to hear it. Go beat the Braves 2 out of 3. BT, you and I talked about this at the game Friday night where, you know, it's funny how these seasons play out. And the hope is that Acuna or Jet Williams or whatever, that these guys will come up and produce. You think in their best seasons, any of them will produce the way that Iglesias has produced this year?
Like, hitting 320?
That's what I'm saying. Think about the production.
Maybe more power, but no, I mean, he's been very good.
Think about the production that they've gotten. And sometimes it takes that out of nowhere from a no-name, a guy who was washed up,
yep,
written off. Sometimes it takes that to get a team to exceed expectations, get in the postseason. But, like, when I'm trying to project forward, Iglesias is certainly not going to be a key part of this team, you wouldn't think, next year. Maybe he's on the bench, sure, but is he going to be an everyday player and he's going to be playing at this level? So then you have to replace that production. Now, you could also get better production, let's say elsewhere. Let's say Alvarez has a better year. Whatever. Like, they tend to work themselves out, but it is interesting when you think about the production that the Mets have gotten this year from Iglesias, and it's also not realistic to think that you're going to get that from him moving forward. You're going to have to replace that. That's a big ask moving forward next year.
I mean, a guy's hitting 337.
Come on.
337.
And he's doing it with a lot of dribblers back to him. I know he homered too the other night, but still, like, he's also got a bunch of infield singles, and I love Iglesias. By the way, I wanted Iglesias 10 years ago. Like, I'm a defense-first guy. They always compared him to Ray Ordonez, which is why I wanted Iglesias. But he's been a great find for the Mets and a big part of what they do well. And I do think that their chemistry this year is what separates them. The ability to stay focused and have fun and be a team, next man up type mentality. They actually apply that. It's been a large reason for their success. Go do it against the Braves. But also when you project moving forward, it's like, hey, where are you getting that from next year?
Well, yeah. Well, listen, you're not going to get it from him. I don't think he's going to hit 330. But, you know, maybe somebody else steps up and it offsets whatever, you know, his drop might be. What this is doing is once again proving, and I've always said this, a lot of people don't buy it because you look at baseball and it's just so individually driven. Yeah, there's 25 guys on a team. Yeah, you run out of the dugout, you go to your position, there's 8 other guys next to you. Understood. But you get in the batter's box, it's just you. You're on the bump, 60 feet, 6 inches away, just you. Ground ball hit at you, nobody's near you. For the most part, it's just you. Pop up, just you.
Right.
But chemistry, like we associate offensive line chemistry. I'm not trying to understate that. That's paramount. Or chemistry in basketball in terms of passing, like these Knicks, right? But baseball chemistry, while I don't know that you need it, because it is more of an individual thing, when you have it, I think it can elevate maybe more than any other sports chemistry because it's such a laborious season, and it's long, and it's repetitive, and it's you stay and get there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll walk out the stadium after you shower and do the interviews at midnight every day, flying around, bus, hotel. I mean, you're at the stadium every day. And if you don't love each other and, like, have fun, it is, unless you have just superstars. Like, the Yankees didn't love each other in the 70s, but they were amazing. Right. Thurman, Reggie, et cetera. This team has really, I think, reinforced the thought that baseball chemistry is a lot more important than people think.
And I think that's a credit to, it is a credit to some of the players they brought in, like Iglesias, like Martinez, whatever, Lindor maybe changing his mindset and all that, but I really think it's Carlos Mendoza.
He's been great.
I think he has struck every right chord, hit every right. He has been incredible when it comes to this stuff. Doesn't matter what happens. Closer goes down, guys get hurt, and the Mets have been able to churn them out, victories out one after another since turning around the season after being 11 games under 500. EJ is on Long Island. What's up, EJ?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good Monday to be sports hosts, right? Yesterday?
I mean, this is the best time of the year. Are you kidding me? With New York sports being the way that it is right now, Giants finally get a win. You got the Jets playing well. You got the Mets and Yankees headed to the postseason. This is as good as it gets.
Absolutely. And just a couple of Met things, right? So I'm a fellow Met fan as well. I just wish you were as confident about the Mets as your partner is about the Yankees, how Brandon is. The other thing, I would say is I don't think anything, the building or anything, has to do with the 2024 Mets. This other gentleman there, and what you guys were just talking about, the you know, how they feel in the clubhouse, how they feel you know, about each other and the momentum and what Mendy has brought to the Mets, I think that's absolutely awesome. But just one quick thing about the broadcast last night, which drove me nuts. So we could be watching maybe Pete Alonso's last four at-bats. And last night, instead of watching his at-bat on the entire screen, we had to watch a distracted, who gives a crap about Schwarber's preparation between innings in the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, with the iPad.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, go ahead, EJ. Go ahead, finish up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's ridiculous. And then,
What did you want, though?
It was a great sports day, Mercury Morris.
What did you want?
Yeah. Here's what I don't want Carl Ravitch anymore. Not to go after Carl Ravitch. He's horrible. Like, I was going to tweet stuff out. I was like, I'll just save it for the show. It's not even worth the aggravation. But who had a worse first inning? Ravitch, who thinks every pop up, there's it. That ball's hammered to right. It was like off the end of the bat from there. Hammered to deep right. Bro, you've been doing games all year long. Figure it out. I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult. Now, for me, it might be.
30 years you've been doing games. You've been doing them all year long.
Well,
30 years.
Well, at the very least. I mean, he's been studio guy, no, for a long time.
He's been doing games for a while.
I can't take watching the national broadcast.
Not a Ravitch guy, huh?
It's nothing personal.
Yeah.
I used to like him in the studio.
Yeah.
But doing a game, oh, he really hammered that one to right. I'm like, what? Hammered that to right? It's barely a pop-up to right. You're lucky he got over first base. Who had a worse first inning, Ravitch or Pete Alonso? Pete Alonso, and he strikes out. That's embarrassing. But is it as embarrassing as Ravitch? Oh, he really got a hold of that one. Can a corner right. Like, oh, dude, now maybe it's coming from watching the Mets on a regular basis with Gary Cohen and Keith and Ronnie.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Ravitch is just, I don't think he's very good at play-by-play.
They got Cody's in there. Cody's good.
You know, sometimes he doesn't even speak up. It's all Perez.
Perez doesn't, he does talk a lot, Perez, you're right.
And I don't mean to go on a rant about the booth, but I did notice that with Ravitch. And again, it's nothing personal. Carl seems like a nice guy. Just... And not cut out for play-by-play. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019.
So from an attendance perspective, right? Now, Nimmo talked about this. We talked about this before Nimmo addressed the crowd. You're going to like this? Met fans showing out. And you just knew that, I mean, the place was going to be packed there. But this validates it. The Mets drew 87,291 fans to Citi Field over the weekend. All right. It is the largest non-Subway Series crowd for back-to-back games in the history of regular season baseball at Citi Field.
Okay, so then the theory about it being too expensive has to get thrown out the window, no?
Yeah.
I mean, well, that was a theory that we talked about with Howie last week, and not just him. Everybody else is saying the same thing. So then, well, how could you draw that many people back-to-back games, but people then cry and say, well, where was everybody on Monday, Tuesday against the Nationals, or Tuesday, Wednesday against the Nationals? Like...
Well, unless you could just say, or unless they can say, those fans who would have been there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, and really had to wait for the weekend, maybe it's like, okay, it can't be both. It's got to be one or the other. And they're like, let me just go to the weekend.
Well, but that's in life. I mean, everybody, I don't care if you have a budget or not. You're not just going to go all the time. You pick and choose your spots, what you would prefer to go. You'd rather go the final weekend against the Phillies than you would against the Nationals. I guess my point is that it just, you can't tell me then it's finances when they sold out 2 days in a row. You have great crowd. So how could it be the finances?
How many Philly fans were there?
I don't even think it was that many.
I didn't see a ton.
Yeah, I mean, they were there. But
I mean, of course.
Not as many as we thought maybe going in.
A couple sitting in front of us Friday night.
I guarantee you the postseason will be sold out. I would expect it to be sold out.
Yeah.
If not very close to a sellout, certainly as the rounds go on.
It's going
to
be sold out.
Yeah.
It just feels that way.
The only reason why it wouldn't be that is because ticket prices could get ridiculous. I don't believe that that's the case in the regular season. But I do think it's going to be sold out.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we talked about this, and this was something I brought up about a week or so ago, and then it became a little bit more of a story. Like, I remember saying, why the Mets 17th in attendance? Like, what do you need to say? I understand star power sells and New York and Broadway and the Piazza or Reggie. I got you. Or a superstar starting pitcher that might strike out 12 or 13 guys like Dwight Gooden. You're more incentivized to reach in your pocket and go. But at some point, you got to show up and you got to respect the team that's been giving you their heart and soul.
Yeah. And
It took a while.
Yeah, I think that they have. Well, I think that they also, when you start the way that they did and then getting 11 games under, you lose belief in a team with no expectations coming into the year anyway. You're not going to go crazy going out to the ballpark. It took a while for the Mets to get back into it. And then they did, and there still was to me, a lack of belief. But, hey, those two crowds over the weekend, even the one that we were on Friday night.
Friday was great.
Yeah, it was great. It may not have been a full sellout. I don't know. Was it a full sellout Friday?
I thought I saw 40 change. I mean, I'll tell you what, parking. I mean, I basically got one of the last parking spots there.
You could tell, too, because in walking around, I could not go to the bathroom. I went to one of the upper levels to go to the bathroom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not waiting on this line. The field level, we had field level tickets. Yeah. The line was...
Really?
I was like, this is the line for the bathroom? No.
You know what? Now that you say that, Sal, I remember it's funny. I guess I didn't have to go that badly, but I did walk in. I'm like, it's a little lengthy. And then I went out. I got a drink with Hop and Gallo. And then I'm like, I guess I can go now. And when I walked back to go, the line dissipated a bit. But it was crowded. And the lines to get food or drinks were crowded.
It was insane. You could tell that it
what
was
What happens when
up.
People go to a stadium?
Jeff is in Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, boys? Good afternoon. Hey. I was at the game yesterday with my wife. It was awesome. It was great. They had, for the Philly series, they had Thursday and Friday about 37,000 each, and then 40 plus for Saturday and Sunday. So that was the attendance. So excellent job by the fans coming out, supporting. I am pumped up. We are going to slay the Dragon. We are going to beat Atlanta. We're going to celebrate on their field. We're going to do champagne stains in their clubhouse. And I'm thinking a Subway Series. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see it. I mean, it's a great, bold prediction there, Jeff. Actually, at this point, I don't even know if it's that bold. Right now, find me two other teams in baseball. I know the Tigers have been terrific. But, I mean, look at the way that the Mets and the Yankees here are closing the season. Mets have been one of the best teams in baseball since June. So it's not just them getting hot. The Yankees are getting hot at the right time right now. But, I mean, the Mets and Yanks, BT, as hot of teams as there are in the sport.
Got a chance. I mean, what is it, 5-6 times? Yanks and the Mets have both made the playoffs in the same year? Something like that?
So
I think that's the number.
That doesn't happen often, often enough at all. So I think it's real. I'll put it this way. I think a Subway Series is more realistic than it is for the Mets to go in to Atlanta and beat them 2 out of 3 and celebrate in their club. Like that I actually need to see to believe it. I've seen a Subway Series before. I can't recall the Mets beating the Braves in Atlanta to close out a season with the season on the line or certain things on the line.
Okay, I got order of probability. More likely here. You ready?
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jets, Jets get to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Or we have a Subway Series.
I think Subway Series.
I don't know.
Well, you're assuming, you said you think the Yanks are going to get there.
Yeah.
So that's halfway home.
Well, I said I think the Yankees could get there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that.
Well, right. I mean, the odds are getting two teams in is a lot harder.
Remember, I'm not saying Jets Super Bowl. I'm just saying get to the AFC Championship. I think the Jets are going to have a chance to do that.
I really think the Mets are as good, if not better, than everybody else.
I got to see if Lindor comes back.
Yeah, well, that's a big key. You're right. That's a big key. Man, but even when they just took three out of four from the Phillies.
I know.
Guess what? If this were the postseason, Phillies be going home.
Yeah.
Phillies wanted to celebrate last night. The Mets held off that division celebration.
I know they did.
And what's really annoying is that the Mets should have won this division this year. Had they not started out as poorly as they did 11 games under, they've been the more consistent team, certainly since June, the better team. And right now, five games back with six to play, but that could have been realistic for the Mets to win a division.
I know that you don't get wrapped up in this, and I don't really get too wrapped up in it either, like the manager of the year, but I was just looking at this during the break, right? I was throwing this at Sal, and I'm like, well, okay, so how can you justify, when you look at the roster, when you look at the expectations, now the Brewers, that's one thing. Like, that's a different story, the Milwaukee Brewers and what they've accomplished this year. How is Rob Thompson or Schilt for San Diego ahead of Mendoza? Can you explain that to me? I honestly don't understand that. Like, I look at Pat Murphy. All right, that's one thing. Mike Schilt, plus 360. I mean, who's got more talent? Rob Thompson, plus 2,500, the same as Mendoza. I mean, to me, again, I really don't care about these awards, but that just doesn't seem even remotely accurate.
It's not. I mean, it just shows you how meaningless these awards should be for people like us. For the individuals themselves, I get it, but even then, Mendoza's been the manager of the year. I mean, you give Murphy credit in Milwaukee, sure.
But I mean, divisional winner. Come on. That's... I don't mind if Mendoza finishes second.
And by the way, they're still only two games better than the Mets. And that's for now.
No, I know.
The Mets might actually end up with a better record than Milwaukee.
They could. But think about this. Didn't most people think San Diego was a playoff team coming into this? Most people think Phillies would find a way to get... Okay. Who thought the Mets were a playoff team?
To me, that would be about exceeding... The results versus expectation.
Yep.
That's how I would do it. And certainly Mendoza has exceeded all expectations. Hector's in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's up, guys? It's funny. I was having that conversation a little while ago with someone, and I'm totally with BT. It should be Mendoza. I understand Murphy, whatever, but they're doing what they always do. They win week central. I know they had the manager change. They lost Corbin Burns and all that nonsense. But credit to David Sturge that he left such a good foundation there.
Yeah.
Those guys are still rolling.
That's a good point.
But can I say this?
Yeah.
Can I say this real quick before I get to the Mets? On a Monday, football Monday, I have zero belief in the Giants and Daniel Jones. I have no belief in Daniel Jones. I have not watched the Giants once, one bit. But if Malik Nabers is going to be this good, I might have to start paying attention. Because
he's a front runner.
Maybe he can make...
Nobody wants you on the Giants bandwagon now. No, nobody needs you on the Giants bandwagon now. Stick to the Mets. You don't worry about the Giants.
I'm a Giant.
You can't say you're a Giant fan and not watch the games.
Come on.
Because I have no hope for them. Just like you have no hope for the Mets.
I'm not asking you to watch a game every night for 162. The Giants have played three games in 3 days.
He can watch. How about you two do me a favor and stay away from my stadium?
Okay? Why? Stadium.
Everybody was worried about Wheeler and the Phillies and that. And who would have
thought?
You two guys showed up. You showed up. P dropped a pop up. We don't know what the heck we're doing, and we lose the only game.
To be fair, Pete, and thank you for the call, Hector. To be fair, Pete dropped the pop off before we got there. I didn't even see it.
I mean, the timing was very close. Yeah. I understand if Mets fans, forget about Sal. Sal's a Mets fan, but for me, I could see it. Stay away from the stadium. No, I'm not. And by the way, if I didn't go to the stadium on Friday, maybe the Marlins don't come back and win that game. You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe by me going to the game. All right, maybe the Mets were just, destined to take it on the chin one night, and they got knocked around.
Yeah,
and Peterson got smoked, and Peterson had nothing. And Pete dropped the pop-up and whiffed with the bases loaded. Lindor still hurt. But if I didn't make that 2.5-hour trek from my house in New Jersey to Citi Field on Friday night, maybe the Braves would have won that game, and maybe it would have been a totally different weekend.
Oh, stop it with the jinx stuff. I mean, come on. Hey, I'm looking forward to going to these postseason games here. Whether it's the Mets, yeah, and we got to make it. We got to figure out a way to make it work.
Well, you went in 2022 to the Mets. I went in 2022 to the Yankees. We weren't working together. Now we are, and now we make it happen.
I mean,
it's a juggle, man.
It's going to be a lot of playoff games.
I can't wait.
The way that I would say it is Mike and Chris did it in 94 with the Knicks and Rangers, and I remember them doing it. Well, they did a lot with the Yankees. The Mets necessarily, you know, weren't in it the majority of the time, but hey, we're going to have – this is something rare for New York sports to have both these two teams in it at the same time as, you know, the Jets and Giants are taking on their season. So, but to have the Mets and Yankees in the postseason together, I hope we're doing shows out there, and I hope we're going to these games. I'm looking forward to being
out
there.
Can I just point something out?
Yeah.
Like, this is everything that we complain about is right in front of us.
Right.
Every call that you've ever made to this station, to whomever, you know, chastising a GM and a failed draft pick and a clueless clown coach or an error or a drop pass or a dumb penalty, all the complaints, right, that you've levied over the years. Now, this doesn't mean that it's going to end perfectly because there's only one team winning the World Series, etc. But here we are. Yanks are rolling. Mets are rolling. Jets are rolling. Giants stabilized their season. Rangers are coming. Knicks are stacked. I mean, this is everything that we want.
This might be as good as it's been for me personally since I've been on the air. I mean,
definitely.
And even think about a time where, I mean, you'd have to go back over 20 years to have the Knicks being as good as they are now with the expectations going into the year. Even last year, like, this is the best the Knicks have been. Even last year, the year before, whatever. So they're at a spot where they have not been this highly ranked or with the expectations as high going into a year probably since mid-90s. I mean, even the 99 year that they went to the finals wasn't, remember, they finished eighth that year.
You know, I don't love Melo like you. I'm trying to go back to that one when they won. Now,
yeah, but they won.
I know they won the 54 games. What was the thought? We knew that they'd be good. They got Chandler,
they
had
Miami, and LeBron.
Yeah, but I'm saying coming in, like, there was a thought that they could maybe mess around the Deuce. No, this Knicks team is different. I'm going to grant you that.
So factor in that Knicks team. Forget hockey for a sec. Factor in where the Knicks are at in comparison to where they've been.
Yep.
The Mets and Yanks both, I mean,
got a chance.
With the landscape of baseball wide open, and both the Mets and the Mets have been the best team in baseball since June, and the Yankees are the Yankees playing like the best team in baseball now. They're going to have the best record in all the sport, if not just the American League. And you get the Jets, who have actually a Hall of Fame quarterback for the first time in forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
I think this is as good as we've seen in quite some time, if not ever.
I mean, I understand it's not perfect, but, you know, right now, at least today, given the Giants win and the other things that sound I just described here, like right now, we're feeling it. I mean, it's a pretty good time right now.
We should take some time. Maybe we get into that tomorrow. You know, no games to react to tomorrow.
Yeah.
Take some time and go over the best New York sports seasons. Like, obviously, you could pick the championships,
mm-hmm.
but then think, like, okay, so initially it was Giants-Mets in 86.
Yep.
But then the Yankees weren't as good. Jets,
well, you can go
obviously.
Back before that. Think about 69 and 73.
Well,
I'm just saying,
back.
Like, to connect all the dots.
Exactly.
There.
Yep,
I'm down. Let's do it.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. John is in Valley Stream. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, good to talk to you again, boys. How we doing?
Good.
Pretty good, John.
BT, turn the Timmy Trumpets on because I feel like I got to drop a six-out DS save on Sal here with the Jones and the Dable. Listen, Jones, he's a mid-level quarterback, Sal, and you're running your playbook to perfection on him. You're going to drop the Licata Kevorkyan on him and hate on him till you can't anymore. Then you're going to grudgingly give him some props, and then around week 10 is what we're going to get. 2022, Jones is back, baby! I'm all in!
It's not a bad impression, but I can tell you that...
Sounds like Dickie V.
Yeah, I can tell you that's not in the playbook here. We've already played that out. I doubted Daniel Jones, not his entire career, but the majority of time after the first couple years, let's say. And then he proved me wrong, BT, like many of us, but he proved me wrong specifically in 2022. And then that to me was a year of at least enlightening, thinking, okay, well, Jones had this success getting his team to a postseason, winning a playoff game. I thought it was always more about Dable than it was about Jones. But, okay, well, if Dable could do that in year one with Jones, what could happen in year two? So I believed in him going into the year last year, saying he was a top 10 quarterback, whatever it was that we discussed. at the time. And then the wheels fell off. Not only was he hurt all the time, but he was also bad when he was healthy. So I'm off the Daniel Jones bandwagon. I'm back to being where I was on it, where, yeah, they could win some games with him for sure, but he's just not very good. Even in the game they won yesterday, I think they went in spite of him where he was missing throws all over the place. Even the throws that were completed, it took sometimes great catches by Malik Nabers to get the job done. I just don't believe in Daniel Jones. So there is no playbook. That is my final answer. That's it. I don't believe in him.
Listen, here's the bottom line. The quarterback evaluation can drive you nuts if you let it. Sometimes it's pretty simple. You can identify, like, the superstars. You can identify the guys who just have no interest in being a pro, like Jamarcus Russell, you know, Johnny Manziel, Achilles Smith, guys like that. But it's oftentimes a lot more complex. Like, and, you know, we've got two examples we've referenced a lot lately. One is Sam Darnold, one is Geno. And to a lesser extent, what is Malik Willis? I mean, here he is, different team. He's running the ball a little bit. Because what we don't
Baker
do is...
Baker Mayfield, another one.
Baker Mayfield's been on four teams, Baker Mayfield. Four teams.
So, right. So it's not just one. It's not just the Jets. You know, obviously Baker didn't play for them. But it's not just one team that screwed him up. Three different teams said no to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to just... Because when we offer a final verdict on a quarterback, as many have on Jones, now, again, the conversation to get to that point, there's a lot of minutia, the offensive line, the coaching instability, et cetera. But all these guys are talented, man. And if you give them time to throw, again, varying degrees of talent, but if you give them time to throw and you give them interesting concepts, whatever, and to get their headspace right with a modern playbook and an offensive-minded coach. Like, McConnell is really... Vikings coach, he's good. So, Kevin O'Connell. Yeah. What did I say? Did I say McConnell? O'Connell.
No, O'Connell.
What did I say?
I'm not sure,
I think,
actually.
I said McConnell. Okay. It's O'Connell.
Yeah.
He's in the right spot. So, the Jones thing, whenever he's gone from the Giants, and who knows when that will be, I don't think you'll agree with this, I actually still think that Daniel Jones has a chance to be solid somewhere else. It's probably just expiring here.
Well, put it this way. I think Jones is what he is now. I don't think there's another coach out there who could unlock him the way, let's say, Shanahan or O'Connell unlock Sam Darnold to a certain extent. And by the way, even
why, though? Why do you say that?
Because I think Dable is maximizing what Daniel Jones is. I don't believe Daniel Jones is a smart or accurate thrower of the football. I think he makes bad decisions. I think that's been proven through 5-plus years now, and I don't think he can throw the ball with any accuracy. He's got the velocity on the football. He can throw it far and deep. He's just not accurate with it, and I don't think he's got the ability to read the defenses. Now, you could win because he can fire the football, and he could also run the football. And I do think he's got some of the intangibles, so I think there's some good, some bad. Ultimately, I don't think it's good enough to get the Giants to a significant level. I mean, unless, BT, you're talking about playing with an elite defense, like if Daniel Jones were on the Steelers, then maybe they could go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But it would still be one of those situations where it's the defense carrying him, and you just better make sure Jones doesn't screw up the game. But
yeah,
even yesterday they were fortunate he didn't have three turnovers
in
that game.
I know. Let me give you a more intimate example. Yeah. Let's just say it again. We'll never know, but I'm curious what you think. If Daniel Jones was quarterback of the Jets last year for every single snap after Aaron Rodgers went down with that defense...
If Daniel Jones was coaching quarterbacking who?
The Jets. Rodgers goes down.
No, because I don't think that... I'm putting him in this exact scenario. I don't think that Hackett or Sala would do anything with Daniel Jones that would make them good. I know what you're saying, it was a better defense, but look, we saw Jones do it with the team that didn't have as good a defense as the Jets did last year, so I'm doing it with the Giants. So, like, he can win games, just a matter of to what level can you win games with. But it's similar to baseball, right? Like, say, yeah, the Yankees haven't really been good all year long. Yeah, but look around. Nobody else is really that good either. All right, well, look around. This is what led me to last year start to believe in Daniel Jones. This wasn't just I woke up and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to believe in Daniel Jones all of a sudden. It was, well, he did win a road playoff game, which is hard to do. He is in year two with better weapons. This is going into last year.
Yeah.
With better weapons, with an offensive-minded head coach, he should theoretically take the next step. So that's why I was believing in Jones. And obviously he didn't do it. But also look around at the rest of the quarterback play. Like, who is good? Is Sam Darnold one of the best quarterbacks? Geno Smith? If those guys are one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins, I don't think he's any good.
It's a very strange
Derek Carr,
quarterback.
I don't think he's any
right
good.
Now. Yeah. It's very strange. I mean, two is hurt. I mean, Josh Allen's amazing.
All right, so Allen is
Burrow's got to get it going tonight.
Yeah, just give me the legit, no doubt
Herbert's
about it.
Herbert's hurt. Yeah, got hurt yesterday.
And even he's got that. Legit, no doubt about it, quarterbacks. Allen, Rodgers.
I'd still say Lamar.
Okay, Lamar. Well, he's won two MVPs. Burrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Burrow.
I put Burrow there.
You put Trout in there even after just 1 year?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Let's see.
Something
here.
Says, like, to me, yes with Stroud, but.
You know, I think he's going to wind up there. I'm just going to.
Trevor Lawrence?
No.
Okay. Obviously, Mahomes.
Yep.
You're not putting Herbert in there?
No.
Okay. That does it for the West. Jalen Hurts?
No.
Me neither. Not if you're putting Stroud, if you can only leave Stroud on. Dak?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Probably not. Like, different level. Yep. But I'm talking about, like, the very top level.
This is the high standard. Keep going.
Yeah, Goff?
No.
Jordan Love?
Maybe.
You're not putting Darnold, Carr, Baker.
No.
And that's it. No, oh, well, and Purdy.
No.
You wouldn't put Purdy in there.
Like at the top.
Okay.
No, not on the top
line. And then there's maybe that second level.
Yeah, then when you get like the Purdy's
and then
maybe.
Jones is probably, to me, below that.
A tick below that. But maybe on the higher. But maybe if he's in the third tier, maybe he's on the higher level of that third tier.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun conversation.
Hey, bottom line is this. We left the studio Friday. Giants barely had a season. We came in today. Season's on. To what extent, we don't know. Season's back on.
All right, that does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk plenty of Giants. Get ready for Giants, Cowboys Thursday night. We got baseball as well. Huge series. Mets, Braves, Yanks, so a lot going on. Thanks, everybody who listened. Thanks, everybody who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.